Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the unglorious monstrosity out onto the streets of Chicago. And I look around and the casing of the bus is no longer a hard shell. It's just basically burned out cardboard that we're holding up together as Doug Tonis and I use the power of our feet to traverse through the city of Chicago. Along with me, the podfather, my co-pilot, the trusty old Doug Tonis. How you doing, my friend?
Living the dream. I don't know if I'm really with you. We just talked for like 5 minutes and I'm like, I didn't watch the game last night. You tell me what happened. So I'm like, they lost, right? There's no way they won this game. Didn't even like click in. And you're like, yeah, they got destroyed. And then Giannis didn't even play and they still got destroyed. And I'm like, okay. So that's the type of deep analysis you're getting out of me for this game.
Hold your chair. 112-100 loss for those who missed the game, and I actually missed a lot of it too due to my son's basketball obligations. But you know, that said, I did catch the highlights, how few there were, and it is a little frustrating to me. I know everybody's saying, well, we were missing a lot of key players. Yeah, well, they were missing Giannis after 9 minutes. They were also missing Middleton. They were missing a lot of key players, too. We still had Vooch. We still had LaVine. And we put up a massive stinker again. So I'm pretty darn frustrated. Brook Lopez put up 33 points against us yesterday. It's like a game. We still had Williams. We still had Io. We still had basically four out of our five starters there. And to just put up a game like that, Zach had a really rough night. Vooch did. He had a 22-16. Which is pretty rock solid, but again, his primary responsibility on defense, Brook Lopez, put up 33-7. So you know, not a great defensive effort. Just a bummer of a game. 6 losses in a row for a team that's 3-7 in their last 10. Now on the outside looking in the playoffs at the 11th seed, just a complete and utter disaster. And I think this is the lowest point it's been for the last decade, Doug. This is the point I'm making since we have traded asset after asset to get to this point. At least, you know, everybody talks about, well, look how awful it was in 2018-19. Yeah, we were rebuilding. We were actively trying to lose. This is a completely different situation where we're actively trying to win in the wake of trades of major assets. This is it, man. This is pretty freaking low. I'd even argue it's the lowest point it's been since the post-Jordan Krause era.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I wonder who could have told you that was going to happen. Is there anyone you know that predicted that this would happen based on us trading all kinds of future assets when we had around 30 wins to try and win now with short-term players? But see, the good news is, Fred, by doing this, I was told that we would rebuild the culture and then we'd be able to sign lots of people. So I'm pretty sure this summer we are going to sign 2 superstars. And with the cultural shift we've made and the excitement around the league, around the Chicago Bulls right now, I'm pretty sure we're going to get 2 superstars. They're going to come for the vet minimum because we don't have cap space. But
Because Gar Packs aren't here. So all these guys that on the buyout market too, I'm sure they're all coming, right? There's still guys out there that want to come play for the Bulls in the buyout market because this is a much better culture and much better place to be, yeah. Right?
Well,
I think so.
Anyway, it just sucks. I've never been more depressed about the state of the team. I'm more depressed because I said this is exactly what's going to happen 2 years ago. And so it wasn't like this was some crazy off-the-wall thing. Like, I don't think I said anything nuts 2 years ago. Like I said, it just came down to you weren't a very good team. You traded a lot of future assets for short-term assets when you were really far away, and those assets you got didn't fit really well together. And so everything that happened was pretty predictable. And yeah, I don't know what they're gonna do. You know, quiet trade deadline. Obviously, nothing happened there, and that might not be the worst. You know, if they can make better moves in the summer, you know, maybe there just wasn't the right offer on the table right now, and there'll be more picks or whatever available in the summer. But I mean, you got to do something really major with this team, right? Like, and it kind of feels now if you look at there on what is like a 5-game losing streak now. It kind of just feels like the team is like, F it. Like maybe some of these guys were hanging on hoping we'd either get help at the trade deadline or hoping they get moved at the trade deadline. But it just sort of feels like there's just a screw it attitude. Like we blew, what was it, like a 20-point lead, 24-point lead, something like that against Indiana, who was one of the few teams in the league worse than us, theoretically, quote unquote, worse than us. You know, so like they just seem like they've also just dropped the rope. And we have the secret extension to Billy Donovan. You know, like we talked when that happened, like, why would you want to extend Donovan? Like, are you so confident that you're going to want this guy here for longer? I mean, he still had multiple years on his deal. And I'm not saying Donovan's the problem, but like, it wouldn't shock me if we want to move on from Donovan in another year or two. And now you're going to have to pay him out more money. Like, this front office is just a disaster. It's just a disaster.
I would like to highlight, too, you mentioned, well, maybe that was the right move not making a trade. I would counter that almost every news source has reported that teams like the Warriors were really interested in Caruso. Multiple teams were interested in Caruso, and their asking price was just simply too much and out of the question. Luke Kennard got traded for peanuts. He's one of the best three-point shooters in the league. Why weren't you actively trying to get a player like Luke Kennard here to improve our three-point shooting, which is a complete and utter embarrassment? It's a complete joke. You can't have an NBA team with this lack of shooting. And, you know, so I'm saying I suspect that the real answer was the Bulls weren't serious about selling their assets at the trade deadline. The Bulls weren't serious about really trying to rebuild or to pivot in another direction. They were looking to make moves on the side, kind of like to hopefully bolster the core of what we have right now. And that clearly was the wrong decision because this team's not going anywhere.
Well, even if they were, they didn't bolster anything. Like, we just came back with what we had. So, you know, like, if you thought you're going to make moves around the margins to be better, you didn't do that. If you thought you're going to make moves to position yourself in the future, you didn't do that either. So maybe there was just not a great move on the table for Chicago, but it's hard to see the scenario where there wasn't a buy or a sell move that made sense to you. You know, especially since almost every team in the league moved something. And, you know, I was a strong seller, right? You know, if you followed me on Twitter or on the show, I was a very strong seller. I was like, sell Zach, sell DeMar, sell Caruso, sell Vooch, you know, just sell everyone. Like, just this group is going nowhere. And so maybe you couldn't have accomplished all of that, but you got to feel like someone like Caruso probably had more value now than he'll have in the summer. You know, if you were going to sell, like, someone like Coby White probably has no value in the summer because he's probably just going to walk as a free agent. And, you know, like, you probably could have got 2 or 3 second round picks for Coby White. And those moves would have made you worse, but so what? You're still worse. You just lost 5 games in a row. Like, I mean, like, what are you doing here? So I agree with you. It's sort of like I think they were too scared to do anything that would make them even a teeny bit worse, but they didn't want to pay the price to be even a teeny bit better. And like, that combination is just really bad, you know, because you're not good enough that being worse makes any difference. Like, if you're going to stay at this level where you're now like 11th, then being worse would be better. And if you're not going to be aggressive enough to at least try and get into the play-in tournament, then what are we even talking about? You know, so yeah, they did this front office. They doubled down on their bad decisions. You know, they're not willing to admit their mistakes so far. And they also don't seem to have like any, you know, any willingness to pick a lane now. You know, now they're stuck in kind of this like really, really bad spot. Like, there's probably no place worse, to finish than like 10th or 11th. And that's like kind of where we're headed, because you're not going to get a high draft pick. Our odds of keeping our pick are about like 30%. And you're not going to get low enough where your odds would be higher. And you're not going to be high enough to at least make the play-in tournament and, you know, give us a fun game. And maybe if things go lucky, you make it into the first round of the playoffs and get slaughtered. But, you know, we're not even going to get that upside. So it's just really like, what are these guys doing? You know, it's just awful.
Well, you know, I know, take another step back too. You're right, double down on their bad decisions. Like, I keep on reading in multiple places that Patrick Williams wasn't even available. Like, they won't even consider trading Patrick Williams, which to me is insane. Like, Dalen Terry had 5 offensive rebounds last night in 27 minutes or 28 minutes. Patrick Williams in the last 5 games, he's our starting power forward, has a total of 5 offensive rebounds over 135 minutes. He doesn't play hard. He's not aggressive. And you can't figure that out by now with all your evaluation skills. Like, hopefully he'll figure it out at some point, and he'll be a valuable rotation player in the NBA and have a long career because he can hit the 3. But he sure as heck isn't a player that should be on a no-trade discussion. Like, if that's actually true, these guys are so incredibly incompetent and dumb, I don't even know where to begin. Because that kid is not – and there's no indications to me, none, that he's got what it takes to be a superstar. He's got tremendous athletic ability.
He doesn't have tremendous athletic ability.
Maybe it's not.
He has good athletic ability.
He's got good size. He has good size and good athletic ability, and he can shoot, which is a good combination. But he doesn't have aggressiveness. He doesn't play hard consistently. And he doesn't have what I think is just the general demeanor to be a real true difference maker and superstar. Just my opinion.
Sure, but no one...
He's not going
to
be an all-star.
You don't need to talk to him about being an all-star at this point. Like, no one should think that. No one should think that he has all-star potential.
Well, if you have him on your... If he's not available for trade, then Acme thinks that,
so
right?
Here's what I would say. A reasonable... Like, what would you trade Patrick Williams for? Let me rephrase it this way. Let's bring it back this way.
I mentioned this before. Like, I would have traded... I know Jay Crowder sat out the whole year, but I would have made a trade for Jay Crowder and draft assets.
I don't know that... What kind of draft assets do you think you'd get?
I don't know. Multiple second rounders? Like, you should be able to get...
You would rather have... Like, Patrick Williams. You would rather double down trading one of your few future assets left.
No.
For second round picks. And a guy who sat out the whole year is washed up... And it's going to be an expiring player at the end of this year.
Probably not. No, you make a. I'm saying at the beginning of the year, I would have done that. I would have traded him for a veteran.
Well, at the beginning of the year,
in line with the veterans on your team. Let's be fair.
At the beginning of the year, Pat Williams, you know, he missed his whole sophomore year. You know, like I think you had to see what he have. You don't sell him at the beginning of the year. Like, I was not high on Pat Williams at the end of the year, but you got to at least give him, like, 2 years' worth of games to kind of show he can do something. And he's still showing he can do something and be a viable player. You know, like, I'd be okay trading Patrick Williams. Like, he wouldn't be on my no-trade list. You know, I'm not going to go that far. But, like, he's one of the few young players on this team. Like, if you're upset that this team... Like, you realize this group is not going anywhere now, right? Like, we agree that this team's not going anywhere as constructed, and you're going to need to blow up the whole thing. And so if you're going to do that, like, I wouldn't be trading one of the only guys under 25 on the team that has any hope of being a rotation player in the future for second round picks.
I would agree now. I would agree now. But my point is, earlier in the season, when there was still hope, when the team was still, you know, hey, when your goal stated goal was we need to get better and we need to take another step, you have a veteran team. He's not in line with what your team is. He's not a guy who's going to contribute to winning because he's still too young. He doesn't rebound. He's not aggressive, and he's not a consistent defender. He doesn't contribute to winning. That's reflected in the net rating. He's got the worst on the team as a starter.
Yeah, like, I think like going into the beginning of the season, though, he had basically only played his rookie year. And so you didn't know that for sure yet. Like, what's he going to do in the offseason? How is he going to come back? Like, I think the upside there, if you weren't a Jay Crowder away from getting to the second round of the playoffs. Let me put it that way. And so if Pat Williams broke out in his third year, which is a pretty common time for players to break out, you know, when they become really good and kind of put it together, if he had done that, then you would, you know, feel better about his, you know, the team's upside. Like, and I agree that didn't happen. But I think you had to at least give him that chance, and I think that was...
Yeah, you know, I think that's fair. I agree with you. I'm not saying that we trade him before the season unless it's a good enough veteran. Like, if it's a player that you have a lot of confidence in...
Well, you just kind of did say that.
Part of, well, yeah, I would say, like...
you said you would have traded him at the beginning of the season for Jay Crowder.
Who's the guy in Portland that was with Detroit that we were talking about for the longest time, getting that player that was discussed in trades? He's on Portland now. He was on Detroit before.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And for whatever reason, I'm drawing a blank on this. Jeremy Grant.
Like a Jeremy Grant.
Yeah, but you couldn't get a Jeremy Grant at that time.
Yeah.
So, like, I agree. Like, and Jeremy Grant then had a great year and was better and whatever. If you go back in time and you say, we traded Pat Williams for Jeremy Grant at the deadline the previous year, I could see that. I could see that. Like, that was a deal where it's like, yeah, you're getting a real legit starting caliber player. And if you could get someone who's above average starting caliber player, like maybe sub all-star, but like, you know, outside looking in, like your Luol Deng type of guy who, like, in the magic year where the team is really good and whatever, could maybe make an all-star game, you know, but not like a true all-star, but like a top 60 guy in the league. you know, or top like 100 guy in the league. Yeah, I think that would have made sense. But I don't think that was available in the beginning of this season.
I'm just saying the larger point is if their goal was to get better and to make the playoffs and to push this team to greater heights, and you're stated, and that's clearly what it was. According to Acme, that's what it was, right, at the trade deadline. Then why do you have a player like him, Patrick Williams, at this point still on your no trade clause?
Yeah, like, I don't think he should be a no trade guy, but I don't think there's any value for him. I don't think anyone was going to give you what you needed for him.
Probably true. That's my big picture.
But agree. Like, he shouldn't be off limits. Like, no one should look at Pat Williams and go like, man, we're not trading this guy. Like,
that's exactly right. It just shows an incapacity to evaluate your own talent, which they've shown several times. They've picked Vooch over Wendell Carter Jr. and two major assets. They picked Williams over Lauri Markkanen. They picked Williams over
Halliburton.
Williams over Halliburton, exactly.
Well, Halliburton is like 12. Like, again, like, I just don't think you can complain. Like, if you go 10 picks past where your guy was taken to find the next guy who's like way better, like, I just think that's an exercise in futility. You're almost never in the draft. You're almost never going to pick the one guy who beats the rest of the field. You know, like, when you're picking one guy against the field, like, almost every team in the league fails that. So, you know, if there's like five guys like in the next vicinity that are better, I agree. But like, when it's like one guy and he's, you know, at this point, like eight picks back, like, you know, whatever, it just happens.
Let's pivot to Dalen Terry. There's a lot of talk about Dalen Terry. Why hasn't he played? Why isn't he playing? Why
is he sucks at basketball? Like, I don't know. Like,
oh, hold on. That's a little strong. He had a really nice game last night. I know you missed the game. He put up a 13-7-6, some of it in garbage time in 27 minutes. Put up a really nice game. He clearly is an energy guy. He brings a lot of energy. I listened to the latest CHGO show with our friend, mutual friend, Mark Kay from Australia. He called him a mini Javonte. I don't know if that was supposed to be a compliment, but a mini Javonte to me is like, wow. Like, so you're going to be a end of the rotation guy for the next decade to come, I guess.
Well, I'd say this. If I was Dalen Terry's life coach or basketball coach, I would get this guy the best shooting coach I could find. He's like one of the worst shot forms you've ever seen. Say, we're just going to just destroy this. Correct. We're starting over. You're doing nothing, literally nothing, but shooting three-point shots for as many hours a day as your legs and body will hold out. And doing, there's like other exercises you can do with your arm. I don't know if you've ever, you know, you coach basketball, so you may have had your guys run through these things. But there's like, just even without a ball, like motions you take with your arm to practice the form and release and all this other stuff. Nothing but working on his three-point shot. Nothing else. Just straight three-point shot. 3 hours a day, 4 hours a day, 5 hours a day. As many hours as you can take. He seems like a guy who's got a great work ethic. You know, he seems like he'll work really hard. Like, he's a hustler on the court, so I assume he's also a hustler in the gym. Maybe that's not true, but nothing but work on your three-point shot. Because if Dalen Terry came back with a three-point shot with a quick release and you broke down a shot and you said, we're going to give you one of these, like, non-dip, you know, releases where it's, like, really fast and he could shoot, say, like, 36, 37%, but could be, like, a volume shooter at, like, 37%, he'd be Lonzo Ball. You know, like, good defender, good passer, good size.
Yes.
You know, like, good shooter. Like, all of a sudden, he would be Lonzo Ball. And Lonzo Ball couldn't shoot to save his life when he entered the league either. So, like, it's possible. Like, he plays really hard.
It's a good point.
But like, he's got to just sit there and do nothing but shoot threes. Like, he has to come back and whatever. Find Lonzo Ball's shooting coach. Whoever fixed Lonzo Ball, get him to come fix Dalen Terry. Like, have that conversation. Lonzo, how did you do it? You're one of the few guys who had one of the brokenest shots I've ever seen, and you came back great. Like,
He's on the Pelican staff. It's Fred Vinson is their shooting coach. He really changed it around his whole career.
Well, we got to hire that guy away. $1 million. We're paying you head coach money to come here and fix Dalen Terry. Like, like, whatever. Like, but that's ultimately, you know, I kid a little bit, but that ultimately is what is going to be the difference maker on Dalen Terry, because he is not a superstar athlete. You know, he's not this like freak athlete. He's not someone who's probably likely going to be this amazing ball handler and finisher and whatever. What he is going to need to do is learn how to shoot a 3-point shot to be more than mini Javonte. You know, as it is, I think he can be a niche player, you know, with his hustle and trying hard and passing and rebounding and just, you know, antagonizing people. But like, is that different than what like Shaq Harrison did, or, you know, like all these guys who can come in and just play hard for a little bit, you know, and be disruptive for a little bit, but they don't have enough skills to stick for long minutes. And so for Terry, he's going to need to develop a 3-point shot to be a guy who can stick for long minutes. So that's all it is. It's binary. He either develops that shot and he can stick or he doesn't. And it doesn't have to be like amazing, but he needs to be capable. If he can be capable, like I said, 37% with a quick release, so he can kind of put up a decent volume, then he's going to be a real player. And if not, then he's not. And, you know, I'm okay taking a guy like that, like, because I feel like shooting is like one skill that's not that hard to teach. Like, I just feel like a guy who's willing to work on it. And if you put your sole focus on it, it's not that hard to get a 3-point shot.
Agreed. A lot of what you said. I will counter. People have been using Dalen Terry's excellent play the last few games to kind of, you know, club Billy and to condemn Billy and, you know, portray him as a wandering idiot because he hasn't played Dalen Terry all year. And my counter to that is, and I heard Big Dave say it on his show, and I've had a few people email me and on Twitter talk about this team needs energy. This team plays with low energy, and just spot minutes for him would have done wonders for the team. And my counter is, well, you know what a bigger need is than energy? I think we get energy from Caruso and Derrick Jones Jr. and some other players on the team do play with high energy. But a far bigger need is 3-point shooting. And Dalen Terry is so far from that need that he didn't deserve minutes. And I don't think he's playing now because of the injuries. I would agree that I'd give every minute that he has right now to Goran Dragic's all his minutes to Dalen Terry. I'm totally fine and on board with that. But, you know, up until this point, he didn't deserve any minutes. He's a horrible 3-point shooter. He's terrible. He was terrible in college. He was a project that we acquired. I've seen Dalen Terry play up very close at Windy City in the first row. He's not a big kid. He doesn't have really great size. He has what he does have is immense amount of energy and quickness, and he plays hard, and I love all that. And he's a good passer, another underrated trait, and he rebounds well for his size. But as far as shooting the basketball, I've seen him airball 3-pointers and from the corner in warm-ups. Like, it's awful. So you can't play a guy like that in today's NBA, especially on this team that's starving for 3-point shooting. So until he gets better at that, I agree with you, Doug. He can't be a really regular rotation player with, you know, regular large amounts of minutes. One final thought. There is a difference between high energy guys. There's always this assumption that guys like, you know, Dennis Rodman and guys that really played with an immense amount of energy that came out onto the court, that these guys were also hard workers. And that is not true. That is farther from the truth than, you know, in my experience, that's completely not true. In fact, sometimes I would say, for whatever reason, it sometimes errs on the other side. Some of the players that I played with and I coached that played incredibly hard with just a tremendous amount of energy, did not work hard at practice. They did not develop skills. It was almost as though they got court time just because of how hard they played and often, like, just God-gifted athleticism, but they never put in the time to develop a really good jumper or develop those skills that would have made them a better player. So there's a little bit of a disconnect there. You know, people assume because he just goes out in the court. I don't know what Dalen Terry is. I don't know. But I will admit this. I have major concerns about him that he's 20 years old and his jumper is that bad. I can't believe that he's an intense practice, super hard worker if it's that bad. I may be wrong, and there have been exceptions. I think Lonzo Ball proved that, right? You brought up a really good point. But for what it's worth, just don't confuse high energy with hard worker.
It's a fair assessment. I think the only thing I'd maybe say about that, and this isn't like highly contradictory towards it, is that a guy can come into the league not have a great jumper because depending on his route to get there and what he was doing to get there, right? Like, and his role on his team. So he may not have had that as an area he worked strongly on, and
the counter to that, how is shooting not an area as a basketball player that you're not working on? How is that possible? Every young player I've ever coached, I've said, start out with that. It's the easiest thing to work on. Find a rim in a basketball. you need to develop a jumper. It completely changes your game. If you don't have a jumper, then you can be guarded much more easily. Every time we would play a team where I heard, oh, this guy's a slasher, that's code word for he doesn't have a jumper. I love playing slashers. Slashers are the easiest people to defend because then all you got to do is go into his zone. You don't have to worry about him hitting from the outside. The guys I lose sleep on are guys like Steph Curry that you have to guard 35 feet out and they can kill you at any place on the floor. It's a tremendous that's the whole key of today's NBA. So, like, I don't buy that. Like, to me, shooting is number one, two, and three of what you have to practice as a player. Everything else is you could learn how to become a good defender. I really believe this. A really good defender in about a year. It takes years to become a good shooter, of hours and hours of practice. Anyhow, for what it's worth.
I don't know that I agree with that, but I think
you can agree. If you got bad fundamentals, yeah, it'll a tremendous amount of work though, tremendous amount of hours. Let's just say that. Let's go on to a different topic though, which I want to touch on is. So right now we're 11. One more thing I did want to talk about with flashes, like we've seen. I read this on Twitter. Like we're seeing flashes from Dale and Terry, seeing flashes. Every player in the NBA shows flashes. Denzel Valentine in his third year put up St. Patrick's Day, put up a 34-7-6 against the number one team in the East, the Cavs. That was a pretty good flash. Like, every player in the NBA has nights where they play, they'll do something that says, wow, this kid might have it. So, you know, like, I was talking about Malachi Branham on draft night. He's been averaging 17 points for the Spurs over the last few games. And yeah, he's shown flashes. I call that 17 points over seven games pretty nice flashes. Just because we see a few good things from a young player, greatness is found in being consistently good. Let's see if he keeps it up. I don't have faith he will. I think he needs a lot of work before he's a contributing rotation player. But let's hope I'm wrong. Let's hope I'm dead wrong on this. That said, he should be getting more time because we're in a whole different stage right now. I don't think he will. Because the Bulls are going to continue to try to win and get in that last, playoff spot. And it's probably the right decision considering they're giving up their first rounder for the most part, likely most part. I guess what would you do, Doug, right now? Right now, if you were running the team right now, I let everybody go. Would you try to lose from this point forward or would you try to win considering the position we're in?
I would focus on developing guys like Terry and Pat Williams and Io.
And in doing so, you're probably going to tank and maybe you get lucky and get one of those top four, right?
I think it's tough to say, like, try to lose. I know teams do that, but players don't try to lose, right? Players are incentivized to do well. They're incentivized to get their next contract. They want to play. Like, there's, like, a human element to it, I guess I just want to say. Like, I don't – you can't go and tell Zach, like, hey, try and lose games now. But I would be like, yeah, okay, from now on, we're going to give Dalen Terry 25 minutes a night. Not because I think Dalen Terry deserves them or because I think it'll help the team, but because I think, like, well, what else do we have to lose? You know, like, it helps us. I guess I'd say everything right now would be focused on what can help me next year. Like, you know, you didn't make a move at the deadline. So you didn't improve the roster. You know, you're now sitting in 11th place. So you got to look at this year. Like it's not happening this year, right? It's just not happening this year. So knowing that, all right, well,
they're not going to acknowledge that though. That's the thing.
Well, that's fine. That's what I would do.
I agree with you too. Like, and I wonder if there's been a conversation with Billy from Acme, like, hey, get Dalen more time. I've always wondered that. I've always kind of felt that. I don't think, you know, when Patrick Williams came out starting as a rookie, I don't think that was the right decision. And I don't believe that was Billy's decision. I think that was probably more direction from the front office to get him time, to get him up to speed because, you know, we have a vet team. We need him to develop as soon as possible, get him as many minutes possible in his rookie year so he can develop quicker. And I think he did get more minutes than almost any rookie that season. I really feel like there is a little bit of that discussion probably going on with the front office and the coaching staff in terms of impacting player time. I suspect that happened here, and that's why Dalen's seen more time. Do you agree with that, or do you feel like that might be a misguided opinion?
I mean, hard to say. I mean, like, they had so many people out that wasn't like there are a lot of places to go on the roster. But I mean, yeah, certainly Billy and the front office have to have that conversation now. What are we doing now? Like, you know, what's the direction now with the rest of this season and with the future in mind? And they did lock Billy up to an extension. So, you know, they can now have this conversation of like, even if you don't think this is going to give us the best outcome, you know, we locked you up for more years. You know, your job is safe. And that type of security, you know, even though we've kind of like ripped on the extension, but that type of security does give them a little bit more leeway to be, you know, frank about like, look, you're not being judged on wins and losses. We've already given you more money. You know, like let's now pivot to positioning ourselves for whatever is going to happen in 23-24.
Two more players I want to talk about before we wrap this up. Number one, Coby White. Coby White, I find, has been incredible defensively this year. I'm shocked at the level he's playing at on that end of the floor. I think he's really shown tremendous growth there. But again, he's maddeningly inconsistent. You know, he had 25 points the previous night against Indiana on 9-12 shooting, 5-8 from three. And then last night against the Bucks, he goes 0-5 from three. He's a real streaky up and down shooter, which can kind of drive you nuts. But I like your take on him. Like, do you envision him being on a team next year? Do you think he should be part of this rotation going forward? Or do you feel like the Bulls should move him? I think they will. So I don't even think I want to talk about it because, you know, he's from the previous team of GarPax and they've pretty much rid themselves of all those players. What's your comments on
Kobe? I'm going to say he's a restricted free agent. He's going to sign a market value contract. I think what the Bulls will do is they won't make a proactive offer to Coby White, and then they'll decide what offer he gets, whether they want to match.
The Nico treatment?
Yeah. We're not going to make a proactive offer, but we hold your restricted free agent rights. And, you know, if some team comes in and Coby White signs for, like, you know, 4 years, $60 million, they'll probably let Coby White walk away. And if some team can't, if he can't find a good deal and Coby White signs for, like, you know, 4 years and $20 million, they'll probably keep him. And, you know, whatever happens there, they'll just decide based on that. And if the restricted tag keeps a team from making an offer because they're too scared the Bulls match, then they'll either work out a year where he stays on, you know, the qualifying offer, or they'll work out, like you said, a Nico deal where it's like, all right, we'll give you 2-3 years at whatever. And, you know, go from there.
What do you think the right decision would be with him?
I think what I just said is also the right decision. Like, I don't think like Coby is, like, once you're looking at market value, like, I mean, who knows what Kobe's demands are and who knows what his market is. Like, so I don't think Coby is good enough where I'm like, yeah, we got to keep Coby at any cost. Like, clearly not, right? Like, if Coby says, I want $20 million a year, you're going to let him walk. Or you're going to let him say, okay, you want $20 million a year? Go find it on the open market. And if you do, congratulations. Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, you just wait to see what the market delivers.
What do you think a fair market price would be for Coby White?
I don't know. I'd like maybe like million? $8 million a year.
Yeah, $8 to $10 million is what I was thinking. Somewhere around there. I can maybe even see 11 if he keeps on consistent playing the defensive end. He's shown to me pretty significant improvement on the defensive end.
I mean,
end
like
this
he's
year.
I think he's a rotation level guard.
No doubt. No
doubt. You know, like he's a rotation level guard. He can be an alternate ball handler. He can create his own shot. He can shoot threes in volume, even if he's not a great percentage guy. He can get up lots of shots, so he can help with that. He's become a pretty solid defender. You know, maybe not amazing, but he's not like a liability. And, you know, so he's got kind of like a lot of things he brings to the table as like a rotation player. You know, I don't think he's a great player, but he's a solid player. He's going to have a decent career. You know, I think he'll stay in the league a long time. So, you know, I'd say around that money is good. And guys around that money, the reason why I said you'd be patient is guys around that money often end up signing for like $3-4 million. You know, because it's just like it becomes there's only so many seats at the table where there's money available. And when the seats dry up, then you got to just take whatever is left. And so Coby could easily be one of those guys where, like, especially because he's restricted, where he just doesn't have a seat at the end of the dance and or a partner, to, you know, and whatever. And then just you get him cheap. So, you know, I don't love Coby so much that I'm like, yeah, you got to keep this kid. But if the price is right, you know, I definitely think there's a place you could keep him here. And, it could work out good. And there's lots of reasons why that price might turn out to be correct.
Finally, I want to talk about Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine against the Pacers put up a 35, 11 rebounds, 7 assists. He had more rebounds in our starting front court. I thought overall, I mean, he made a lot of bad decisions, which is what you expect with Zach LaVine occasionally, but big picture, they wouldn't even been in the game if it wasn't for Zach LaVine. I thought he took way too much heat after that game. When you put up a 35, 11, 7, almost a triple-double, it's not your fault you lost the game. I mean, that, you know, those reasons should be elsewhere. Your thoughts on his performance against Indiana? Obviously didn't play great last night, but more importantly, your thoughts on Zach LaVine, and why does it seem that a large percentage of the fan base is really kind of turning on him?
I would get rid of Zach LaVine. Like, he's an okay player. Like, all the kind of like advanced stats of like how your team does when he's been on the court for his whole career have been really bad. There's a lot of evidence that says he doesn't really impact winning that well. And a lot of it is what you said. He just makes really bad decisions often. There's never been a player I can think of in my life where so often you said, well, yeah, he cost us the game by being dumb at the end, but we wouldn't have even been in it if it weren't for him doing blah, 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 blah. Like, I've heard that statement about Zach LaVine more often than almost every other player in the league I've ever heard talked about combined.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so at some point, you got to say, like, well, yeah, maybe he's piling up all these stats, but they're just empty stats. And he's on a really huge contract. And you could probably get something for him. So, you know, I've said I would blow up this whole roster and I would include Zach in that. I don't hate Zach. Like he's clearly got an amazing amount of talent in all kinds of ways. But that has not been able to befit him well to generate wins at any point in his career. And so, you know, maybe he'll go to, it'd be very easy to see Zach go somewhere else and be successful. But I would be okay taking that chance because we've not been successful with Zach now for a pretty long period of time.
I'm pretty sure Zach would be very successful in Philly, very successful with the Lakers, very successful with, you know, Dallas. Like, to me, he's a guy that needs to be playing off the ball a lot more, not as the primary ball handler, getting open shots, not getting doubled. You know, like, I think he'd be really good in that situation. He just hasn't had that situation here in Chicago.
He's been the primary ball handler more often. It's not going to be here in the next couple of years either.
No.
And you're paying him a huge amount of money. You know, you're paying him, you know, a veteran max deal. You know, the 30% max deal. So, yeah. And I'm not trying to say, oh, Zach's overpaid. He's a bum. Like, I'm not at all trying to be that extreme, but, you know, just you got to blow up this whole team. There's just nothing. Like, DeMar and Vooch are too old. You know, and like Vooch, I've ripped down a lot, like in the past, but this year I've said, like, he's having a good year. Like, Vooch has been solid this year.
You know what? Hold on there. Vooch is having a good year. His 3-point shot is falling off a cliff. An absolute cliff. He's under, I think, 25% in the last month. Ever since the game when he went 5-10 and had 42+, he's been awful from the 3-point.
Let me rephrase it this way. Vooch is a $20 million player, is having a good year. If you felt you could get Vooch's productivity for the next 5 years at its current level at $20 million a year, I'd be psyched to keep Vooch. Defensive faults, 3-point shooting inconsistency aside. But one, I don't believe that's true because of his age. And I think centers just that are that big age faster. And people say like, oh, his game will grow or will not slow down because it's not based on athleticism. Defensively,
well, yeah.
Every time you lose a half step, it's like just an order of magnitude easier for everyone else to get around you. You know, like it's just your defensive ability just plummets and it's already not great. So, but at 20 million, I'd still be like, yeah, if I thought Vooch could do this for the next few years, I'd be like, okay. But he's at a point where I don't think that. Like last year, he was an absolute abomination. And so, like if I average those 2 years out and like, you still got to project at his age, it's going to go down, not up. So, you know, and DeMar like has been fantastic, you know, hard to fit in because of his game, but still overall fantastic. But you don't really have a lot of faith that that's going to continue for a long period of time going forward either.
He's getting old. He's getting old.
So you got to move forward from those guys. Like you don't have enough time. You don't have the luxury of time figure out how to put more guys around them if it takes you 2 years, right? Like, so if it takes you 2 years to rebuild this thing, those guys can't be part of that plan. Like, you can't be looking at DeMar at like 36 and Vooch at 34 or whatever it is and think that that's going to work out. It's like key components. So you move on from them, and then you're left with, now, do I want Zach to be my number one guy in a max deal while I'm rebuilding? And the answer is no. Like, so you move on from everyone. You got to move on from everyone this summer. You got to get rid of every single one of these guys and start with something new.
My concern about Vooch is this, is like, in order to be successful with him as your center, you need to have a ton of really good 3-and-D guys, especially on the perimeter. And you don't have any three guys. Like, you have to have three-point shooting if Vooch is going to be, if you're going to work through Vooch in the post, like we hear over and over again during the broadcast and in the pre and post game. And if you don't have that, it's not going to work. You're not going to win consistently in today's NBA because you don't have enough efficiency. You need to get the efficiency from the three-point line because you're not going to get it from the free-throw line. He doesn't get to the line. And when you do have players who can get to the line, they can't have him in the post. You can't get to the line with a big center and his defender clogging up the lane. So you just got to use your head. The offensive geometry on this team sucks. So I would not hesitate to let him walk away if you want to move in a different direction. It's like, where are we going? Where are you going to find those players?
We're definitely, no one's claiming we should keep Vooch.
Everybody's claiming that, Doug, because why? No one we is. Gave up so many assets, you have to resign. I've read that at that line, like, you gave up so many assets to him, you better resign him. I've heard it from Casey Johnson. I've heard it, read it in several places that due to the fact you traded two first-rounders and Wendell Carter Jr. for Vooch, you better resign him. And I'm like, how about just admit it was a massive mistake and let's just move on? You don't have to resign him.
Like, well, I don't think you let him walk. I mean, you either sign and
you're
trade
saying
him.
The same point. That's my counter. Like, if you don't have three-point shooters around him.
So my point is, you think you can get something for him. That's it.
He's an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah, but there's not a lot of teams that can afford to bring him in that would want him. So I think you can do a sign and trade. I think you can do an extension. And then I think with the extension, you can then
trade him later. Okay, yeah. Fair enough. But
yeah, again, like I'm not saying I want to keep Vooch just to keep him.
I think his value is going to go off a cliff too within the next 2 years. I can't look at Vucevic at the end of whatever contract he's going to sign. It's going to probably be a 3-year deal. At the end of the second year, I think you're going to look at him and be like, wow, this is not good for year three. Just my prediction. That's what I expect. I think most people should expect that, but. Listen, this is we got to move on because I got to hit the road here. But, you know, as we bring this tattered shell of a bus in, Doug, this is pretty low. And I'm going to state it right now. This is unequivocally the lowest time for the Chicago Bulls since the Krause era. And I know some people are going to throw out there the year that they went, like, they won 30, I can't remember, was it 38, 39 games, got lucky, and got Derrick Rose. On that team that won 30-some games, we had Joakim Noah as a rookie, and we had Luol Deng, two All-Stars. Who are the two All-Stars on this team, young All-Stars, that you feel good about? Two young All-Stars we had in that year, 2007-8, the team that was a real disappointment. We don't have any of that. We don't have any young guys that you're like, these guys are All-Stars. We had Deng and Noah. We don't have Deng and Noah on this team. We have an old, aging DeMar DeRozan. And I don't know if Zach's going to hit an All-Star game anytime soon again. So this is a disaster. This is the worst it's been. Think about that, Bulls fans. Bring back Garvin Pax. Let's go.
I wouldn't do that. But
I'm not. I'm saying that in jest.
Go ahead. I know. But what I would say is, I said this before, our front office, to me, they're bottom two. And the other one is Tim Connolly, who runs the Timberwolves. And they both made their entire career based on drafting Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, that's a good point. I will say, though.
Two worst guys in the league. Both of them are like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to trade a fuck ton of assets to get a center. So both these guys went and did as soon as they got to their new team. You know how you win in this league? Center.
Yeah.
Like, okay. All right.
Well, I will say, in defense of Acme, the DeMar DeRozan move saved them in my eyes. I mean, that's like one of the best moves in Bulls history. So I will still defend them a little bit more than you. I don't feel that's the case. I love the IO pick. They did enough, barely enough, the minimum of enough, to say maybe they can turn this around. I'm not as down on them as you are. But man, oh man, that Vooch trade backfired. And geez, this is not a good spot to be in.
Didn't make a good evaluation with Lowry. Didn't make a good evaluation with Carter. Didn't make a good evaluation with Vooch. Like I said, you start going through the lotto picks and you start going through the above MLE contracts. And, you know, everything except DeMar worked against them. So, you know, some of it was luck. Some of it was stuff they should have seen, you know, as a combination. Like, not everything is their fault. But, like, these guys are getting paid millions upon millions of dollars. So,
Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy the All-Star game. All right, DT. Go. Let's go, Bulls. Talk to you again soon. Let's hope we have brighter tone the next time we jump on together. All right, my friend?
Go, Bulls.
Take it easy. Bye-bye.